Okada, fellas. Sir. We are back.
What up?
Welcome back. Glad to have you all in the building.
Mm-hmm. In the building.
In the building. Bah, bah,
bah, bah. Can we get the sound effects?
That's right. Bah, bah,
bah, bah. Watch, he's going to do it in post.
I'm going to try. I can't promise it, but I'm going to try. You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm chilling.
Second episode, we're still warming into it, I think. You good?
Yes, we're good.
Okay. I think he's still on AWOL. My goodness.
I am, like, you know, I'm going to keep it a buck. Like, me and the cruise people still been talking, and all we want to do is go back on the water. Like, that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're here today, so let's be here.
No, I don't want to think about that water. I ain't got to think about you too. Y'all too mean. Pre-production. Yeah, y'all hurt my feelings. I feel light-skinned.
Why?
Why?
I just do. That was mean, guys.
I mean,
me.
It'll be all right.
Yeah, it will.
RBA. All right,
man, calm down.
RBA.
R is for RBA.
My.
So, sir, fellas, I want to talk to you guys about something today. Brand. And we're going to title this episode today, Love for the Brand. Or Brand? Because the saying goes, love for the game. However, nowadays when you look at sports, it's almost like they have a love for the brand versus the game. Or that depends on the athlete, right? The sport, whatever that, the level, the caliber, all that. So when it comes to brand, when it comes to sport, when you play the sport, as you're growing up playing the sport, as you're trying to make it to this professional league at that elite level, at what point do you get to where brand starts creeping through and really changing your mentality of how you play this game and how you approach this game? Because at first, if you think about it, back in the 80s and 90s, that wasn't a big thing. It was always about, you know, play for the love of the game. Now you think about NIL deals. People are thinking about, you know, college and all that kind of stuff creeps in early from what I think, at least in my opinion. But at what point do you feel like it really creeps into an athlete's psyche and really starts impacting their way of, I need to be more, you know, savvy per se, how I approach this thing?
All right, I'll go first because I got a close friend in this. First and foremost, my name is Matthew. I'm just going to make that clear so people know my name. My name is Matthew.
Why, what else do people refer to you as?
We ain't going to talk about it. Anyway, get to the point. I want to say, I think it starts creeping in around middle school now. Years prior, middle school, late in the grade, I want to start saying is eighth. Eighth with AAU, and the family I'm going to talk about first, and we all know more importantly, the Ball family. The Ball family, they started with their kids young, and there's a famous quote, and I think we all love them, but it's a favorite quote of mine. It's by Jay-Z. I'm not a businessman. I'm the businessman, and LeVar Ball legitimately was thinking about that for the kids and for his family. So they made Big Baller Brand, they put it on the kids, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know the full history, but I do know it's around middle school. I got a good friend, not mentioning their names or name dropping, but they started around that age. And they were like the brand and how people look into it, especially colleges before the NIL deals. They were looking at it at like, okay, what is he doing in eighth grade? What are they doing outside for themselves, so we can bring them in from the college aspect or for love of the brand? And my mission is this way though, but it's like for us, it's like, what are you going to bring for us? Okay. And then after that, it's like, man, he's been doing this since this age, that age, and everything else. So it starts around middle school, late middle school though.
Okay, sir.
So I'm going to approach that in a slightly different
aspect
because, in terms of when it creeps in, I wouldn't claim to know, but what I do think is that I think the athletes that are a brand overall is extremely rare. Meaning that your top of the top athletes are going to be a brand of themselves. But part of the reason why they're a brand is because they produce on the court, on the field, within their sport. And I think athletes have become smarter over time with the whole, especially when there was that time period of athletes going broke, and they started to do, the league started to do more education on financial, financial education and how to handle all of that. So athletes got smarter on how to build brands. Social media is a second aspect of that. It's helped athletes be able to capitalize more on brands. But if you think about it, even NIL, not every athlete that gets an NIL deal is going to become a brand, right?
True.
Like, you have to produce when it comes down to it, right? And so some athletes, and I remember hearing this before, I forget who said it or what conversation, but it was about NBA players and how, like, there's some guys in the league who are legitimately just there to make a living. They're just there to make a living.
Just over broke.
Right. So they're just there to make a living. They're not there to build up this brand empire. It's a job. It's a J-O-B, right? So I think when it comes to the brand side, you really have to be like the top of the top to be a brand that continues on over time. And then there's some other rare circumstances where athletes, once they're done on the court or on the field, parlay whatever success they had into something else where they become a new, different kind of brand. But I think the brand piece is synonymous with how they actually produce on the field or on the court.
Okay. That makes sense, right? Hence, these guys, right?
Shoe deals.
Right, shoe deals.
Not every athlete's getting a shoe deal.
So I want to challenge that, though. That I agree with most of it. I want to challenge one part of that. I don't think you have to be an elite athlete to be a brand post-career. Example, Jalen Rose, right? He wasn't a top-tier. He was a great NBA player, but not a top-tier athlete where he had a shoe deal even. Or I don't think he ever had probably number one jersey sales or whatnot. But now, post-career, he is one of the greatest commentators, analysts, the game that that world has ever seen.
Well, he's one of the ones, like I said, then there's the few that parlay something into a different, once they're finished on and off the court. Right. So I was thinking like the Jeff Teagues or the Shannon Sharps or the Jalen Roses that parlay what they did on the court to off the court. J.J. Redick, Kendrick Perkins, like we can go on and down but the
Tony
list.
Tony was also a great, like he's an elite. We're talking about not so elite.
Right.
Okay, my bad.
Right, so then there's that group as well that build a brand once they're done, even though they weren't the elite of the elite within their sport.
Right, okay, okay. So that now that brings me into my next question. Right? That brings us into the next question is there, from a fan perspective, is there a prerequisite that athletes have to meet to be legitimized as, you know, worthy of being, receiving a shoe deal? Do you need to reach certain accolades or accomplishments to be worthy of that? Producing, correct. But, I mean, not everyone that produces gets a shoe deal.
Oh, I mean, in this market.
So in that sense, is there, from a fan perspective, is there something that when you see a shoe deal, like, did he deserve a shoe deal? Or is it like, oh, yeah, he deserves a shoe deal?
I mean, I think it's one of those, like, you know it when you see it. I don't know about the prerequisites, but, like, you know it when you see it,
I'm thinking of joking. No, he had a shoe deal.
What I'm saying. Like,
no, he didn't need one. No, it sucked. Like, his brand. No, what was his brand?
Please argue with me, and I'm agreeing with him. Who the fuck agrees with somebody disagrees with somebody as they're agreeing with them? You're making my point. The point is, you know when you see it, and you're like, oh yeah, nah, that I'm not buying those.
I should have brought my popcorn.
My goodness gracious.
So do you agree? I'm assuming you agree with him.
Yes, I do. My bad.
I mean, I'm sure that there's some like borderline ones that you could argue back and forth, but some of them are just going to be flat out like, He got what?
Okay. So let me ask you then.
A long day.
So then let me ask you then. At what point does an athlete get bigger than their brand?
I don't think they do.
You don't think so?
I think their brand just continues to grow.
Or the more or they how about the other way around? The brand declines. Gets bigger than them.
I don't think that's possible.
Oh.
It is.
It is.
I have an example.
Okay, so go ahead. I don't think that's possible.
If you say Jordan.
If the person is the
I knew it. It's
Jason Jordan. Air Jordans.
Actually and Kobe as well.
Right? So today we have a live audience, right? And our live audience today has never seen MJ play live. However, Jordans are like the thing. So I feel like at that point the shoe has or the brand has definitely surpassed the player.
Right, but every time that somebody says, so I would argue that when people say Jordan, people think of the ball player.
No, but that's your generation. The right. Younger generation.
That generation doesn't. The younger generation.
Even though they're trying to put them in video games and everything, it's not the same. It's not when you hear, I want to be like Mike. Like, bro, they're not saying that. Like
that invokes a feeling where they don't get that feeling. Because that's my other question, right? Does a brand invoke a feeling? Whereas that brand does, right?
But see, the problem is the brand is nothing without the athlete in the first place. That's what
correct.
I'm saying.
It's
impossible for one to outgrow the other.
No, but it is, though.
It's not.
For the generation, it is. For our generation who grew up with that athlete, yeah, you're right. I
but
agree.
But those same ones are still going to say that LeBron, Jordan's better than LeBron.
Right. So because again, it's generational.
Right. So it's the athlete and the shoe. Like it doesn't matter which.
So
it's not like they're buying the Jordans and saying LeBron's better.
No, they actually are.
I guess we'll find out. Okay, we're a bunch of old heads talking about what the younger generation. I don't personally think an athlete can outgrow the brand or the brand can outgrow the athlete because I think they're one in the same.
Okay, what do you think?
Unless they sell their NIL to a company, it's always going to be synonymous.
Okay, I mean, look.
So that's one aspect of it.
We all somewhat football fans. I mean, if I say a certain team name like Atlanta, you already know the brand. First thing you're going to say is like, oh yeah, Atlanta's cool. But then you're going to think about, oh yeah, 28-3. Then you.
What does that have to do with anything?
What I mean by that, wait.
He just want to take shots.
That's what I'm thinking.
He just want to take shots. And it has nothing to do with.
This is all pre-production anger.
There's a lot more things that people think about with Atlanta than 28-3.
But what else do you think about Atlanta Falcons?
You want to go there? You want to go there about Washington? How about y'all come up with a team name first?
I'm not a diehard fan like you. Do I come up in here and be like, hey man, Washington? No, I don't. He hasn't for years.
You know why? Because they haven't done shit for years. That's why.
Hey, dude. I mean, look, first of all, we're going to leave it. But what I mean by
Matt,
that.
Matt.
Wait, I'm sticking to the question. What I'm saying is when you say brand, like, okay, I got to go in. You'll both laugh at this. Okay, brand, right? A team is also a brand, even though we're talking about players and everything else. I say brands are synonymous with certain things, okay? I'm like, success. We say Warriors. You think about that. We say Curry. We think of hard work, dedication, you know, success, right?
We say Washington Commanders, and what do we think of? Failure.
Atlanta Falcons, and you think of...
Nobody just thinks of 28-3 because they've also had other success.
What other success have they had? You're the fan. Nobody else thinks about that. I did bring that up, but I'm like this. I'm a crack on my team. Wizards. They think of failure and just like, mediocre. Like, they're not going to do anything. So, yes, sometimes the brand of your question, which I just totally forgot because of our interaction.
That's fine.
But basically what I'm saying, it can. All right? And I guess I'm agreeing with you on this one because it just can't. Like, for instance, when going to like, okay, I'm trying to think. Like, y'all already know I've been saying this, like Bruce Lee, right? Big guy, big fan of his, as into especially his writings, okay? His brand now is all on peace and tranquility, and that's what his daughter has been pushing, okay? Am I making this clear? Because I'm like, that's all they've been doing, peace, tranquility, and you to find yourself and be yourself, all right? So the brand for him was always to make sure that you're doing your best, but it's also to be like, hey man, just be peaceful about it and continue growing.
So, I mean, I look at it two ways. There's one version of the brand. Bruce Lee, great example. This Bruce Lee Kobe's, right? You saw Bruce Lee Kobe's, the Enter the Dragon, that color scheme with the three lines, you know, the cut marks. Mm-hmm. You see players wearing those. He crossed his, you know, his area and it went to other sports. But the mentality, the it's still the Bruce Lee aura energy that goes with it, right? That hard work, determination, focus, grind, all that. Mm-hmm. Then there's the Air Jordans, which also cross, but however, they cross into skating. You have rappers creating their own Air Jordan versions. And now it's gotten beyond the man, because now they're not connected with Michael Jordan's mentality.
But it's still but the driven shoe, by the man.
It is, but when the man,
everybody knows,
correct.
But when they're the putting man, that shoe together, even if it's a rapper designing his own Jordans, mm-hmm. as they're putting it together, they know that this is all because of that man.
Correct, but when they're that man no longer exists,
but he does.
Shoe, that's the thing, though. The shoe continues to rise. Beyond these younger generation folks who have never seen him shoot a single bucket or even a highlight of his. But that's going to be
for anything.
No, it's not, though, because some of those brands start declining, whereas he kept inclining beyond that phase.
Yeah.
I feel like his brand has become more of his beyond that legacy status or era, whereas other players haven't.
But he's also grown with it, too. So
he has, but that's not what you know him for anymore. Yes, that helped boost him and bring him to where he is, but I feel like, in my opinion,
I think he helped where he's, boost that. Where no,
nah, he, from a fashion standpoint, it's way beyond.
Because Nike was about to go out of business.
But that was at that time.
We're talking now.
He's 2023. He's the reason.
This is where he's the driver. This is where
none of it happens without him.
Correct. So at he that doesn't, point, you're right. So you're absolutely right.
It doesn't outgrow him.
But now it does.
It did.
Here, I want to know what y'all think about this, because this is definitely a topic we're not in agreement about.
It did.
Every time when the shoes are talked about, 100 years from now, mm-hmm. he's still going to be talked about with the shoes.
No, he's
kids
not.
People are not going to be like,
kids don't care.
Who are these shoes named after?
Even our off-camera audience is looking at you side-eyes, bro. Come on, man. That generation is not doing that.
It's synonymous.
Man,
it's synonymous.
See, now I want to know what that generation thinks, because it's not.
Just like LeBron's. When LeBron's no more playing, it doesn't matter. In 20 years, when LeBron's not playing and they're still buying his shoes, they're not gonna be like, oh gee, I wonder who these shoes are named after. It's synonymous.
Because when the next generation comes, they're never gonna see him play, and that's what's gonna happen.
There's
he's
YouTube.
Gonna reach that status.
There's YouTube.
Correct.
And people watch it on YouTube. That's the same reason why your off camera audience thinks MJ is the greatest player of all time and never watched him play.
No, they don't.
They do.
They don't.
Okay.
They do not. They do not.
There's plenty that do. We're talking about severe generalizations right now.
No, see what we're doing. My man right here hasn't. I get him. It's all right.
I mean,
I know we're right here. It's okay. This time we got this. Right? Finally, the old guy's more hip.
I mean,
I'm going to take my W this time.
I'm not sure who's self proclaiming W's, but I just don't think it's possible that
I'm not.
that starts with a person can be outgrown. Like, they're synonymous.
So I think it can. Ken thinks it can't. You think it can or can't?
It can, because it already has.
Put the microphone up when you talk.
You want to? All right, it already has.
And if, by the way, if you want peace and tranquility, you better stop talking pot, taking pot shots.
You can't speak.
This guy want to bring up something that has nothing to do with topic at hand.
I had to bring around that.
You just been petty. That's all he's been.
Exactly. I mean, that's fine. He can get the smoke. That's okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. So let me ask you a question then. Let's take a different approach. All right.
What's up?
Now, as an athlete, let's say you're an athlete. Now, because if you play the sport for the love of the game versus what the game can bring you, all that it can bring you, right? You spoke about this a little earlier. Now, at what point, though, where do you feel like, does it have impact on your ability to become an elite if you get too distracted by, you know, I want to maintain my brand. Example here is, or potential, like, you know, the rumor, Bron never got into the dunk contest. The rumor was, or is in some circles, is because if he lost, it would have hurt his brand. Is there any legitimacy to something, not even that, but things like that?
Well, it clearly hasn't hurt his brand.
Correct.
The rumor's correct. Out there. So.
But there's also always that chink, like, oh man, Bron should have been in the dunk contest. So we can agree to disagree on this one.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take this a different route. I want to take it away from fashion now and more so towards the craft itself. You play for the love of the game. That's one version of it, right? You play solely for the love of the game. You're not concerned with whatever it can bring you because you know that everything, you do your job, everything else will work itself out. That's one aspect of it. Then there's the other aspect of it. I'm just here to get a paycheck, take care of my family. That's my motivation, right? And that's it. I'm here to do my little bit, make my money, go out, and then go live my second life and figure it out or whatever. Just go off into the sunset. Now, are one or those approaches more advantageous or more, you know, better off for somebody from if you want to become an elite player or successful? Or does it matter what caliber athlete you are? Does that play a role into it? Right? There's different aspirations. What do y'all think about that? So you started. Let me throw it this way.
I got four words for you.
All right, do it.
Run me my check. Okay. It's like, no, I'm just kidding.
All about the money.
No, I think we're different, right? Because I think we would say that it would be for the love of the game first. Because it started when there was no checks to be had. It starts, usually, there's some outliers, but usually it starts for kids purely out of love of the game, right? Like seeing in our own kids that it starts with the love of the game when money is not involved. But
again, our kids don't have those problems that other.
But I think it, regardless, I mean, I just think for most kids, they don't pick up a basketball and say, you know what? I'm going to try to get good at this so I can make millions. I mean, some kids do. Yeah. But again, we can't talk in just general, you know, all these generalizations that y'all have been doing the whole episode. Listen,
just because you are not up to speed, that doesn't mean
most
we're off.
Most kids start playing sports for wanting to play sports, not to become millionaires, because the likelihood that they're going to become a millionaire is slim. So I think for us, we would probably say that, but I think it does depend on the athlete, because there are some high caliber athletes that wouldn't care about chips. They just want to
get paid,
be one of the best statistical players, get a lot of accolades, but the fact that they don't win chips may not bother them. And then you might have some role players that make us a couple mil that are fighting and scrapping because they want to win chips. They want to be part of winning basketball. And so I think it can go either or, depending on the athlete and their own mentality. But I think you hear a lot of stories of like players who they'll shoot a half court shot just right after the buzzer. So their shooting percentage is fine because it might trigger some things in their incentives, contracts,
right?
To hit a certain number, right? You know, so I think there's a little bit of the brand that comes into it, and then some transcend both, right? When you talk about the Stephs and the LeBrons or the Tom Brady's, right? You know, Tom Brady is a great example, I would say, of somebody who sacrificed the money for winning because he always took less. He always took less than the market to win chips. But now you got somebody like Patrick Mahomes, who I don't know if y'all saw, he just recently redid his deal. You know, did you hear what he said?
No.
What his comments were? Did you hear what he said?
I didn't hear the comments. I think I heard.
He redid his deal because he already had like a 500 mil.
Half a bill.
They redid it. So he has a higher per annual. And he said that he had an obligation to ensure that those who come after him, he continues to reset the market.
Interesting.
So he has an obligation to all the other quarterbacks after him to not take a lower deal,
okay,
just to continue to win.
Okay.
So every athlete has a different, you know, mentality when it comes to that. But I think if you, I mean, I don't know, it's so hard when you're not from money to not be like, just run me my check.
So, but can I throw it right back at you?
No.
What about athletes? Well, I'm going to throw it anyway. Done. Listen, I'm the facilitator. I'm going to throw it back and you go. What was that R word again?
Yeah.
So, now.
I quit. This is cool, man. Deuces, man. All right.
No, let me. I want to ask you a question off of that. What about athletes who get their mega contracts and then don't produce? Now what?
Don't produce how? I mean, so there's
the money that you got paid to do a job and you are not doing it.
So that could be multifactored, right? Mm. What athlete are we talking about? What sport are we talking about? Is it team based? Is it individual? What didn't they produce? I mean, there's so many factors and nuances that go into that, though.
Yeah. But the fan doesn't care. Right, the media, they don't care. They want, you got paid a job, you got paid to do XYZ.
Listen, so you're listen, not doing XYZ. Listen, no. Listen, right? No.
So
no,
all listen. Right, go ahead.
We can't go. You can't judge by the fan, the average fan's reaction, because you could have a quarterback who throws for 400 yards one game, four touchdowns, no picks, and the next game they throw for 45 yards and three picks, and they'll want that person gone. Like, you can't go by the average.
Are you saying fans are fickle?
So when we talk about living up to the contract,
fickle is an understatement.
You got to talk about actual, like, evaluators of the sport who know what they're actually evaluating to determine whether or not they lived up to the contract that they got.
So you don't mean the mainstream media?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Even us. It's just opinions.
Exactly. They're all.
It's just our opinions. If I think that LeBron has lived up to his contract, that's my opinion. Mm. Matt might not. Neither one of us are an NBA scout. Like,
I could actually answer that first, and I got another opinion, a different topic. But yes, he actually hasn't lived up to his contract because he need more money because the money he's bringing in for the NBA. And get to the point, that's a whole nother topic.
That means he more than lived up to his contract.
Right, he overshot his contract, right?
Basically,
so Steph was somebody early on was making less money, and there was a big talk about he deserves more, but he took less. They built a team around having extra money.
Then there's guys who get paid, get hurt,
right,
and don't live up to the contract. I mean, there's so nuanced.
And that's the infamous bust.
Yeah, I mean, it's so nuanced. So, then you've got, like, the guys who come in, like Jamarcus Russell, in the NFL.
Yeah, man.
Like, they literally created the rookie wage scale where they actually set pay based on your draft pick. So now it's like by slot, wherever you get drafted, you get a certain amount. Mm. And there's like a percentage increase every year because of the contract the Raiders gave him and the fact that he didn't live up to that. But that also was nuanced too. There was things he did to contribute to that, but there was also things that the team and the Raiders and the coaching staff and a GM at the time did as well. So there's no perfect, like, you can't just say, oh, Hack didn't live up to his contract. Because I guarantee you, if you sit Hack down and walk through what actually happened that the fan doesn't know about.
Right. There's always the backstory.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So that's why I say when we talk about generalizations, it's hard to
agreed.
Hard to talk in true detail about that.
As they say, there was his side, her side, and then
and the truth.
Speaking of her side, so like Naomi Osaka, like, do y'all watch tennis? When she was going through her mental health crisis, people were like, she need to continue playing. And it's right.
That's same as Simone Biles, right?
Yep.
Same story.
Same thing, which, by the way, she just came back and won a gold medal.
Hey!
Shout out to Simone.
Let's go.
So, yeah, same thing, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's like, the average fan would just say push,
right?
But I would say even those like Naomi or Simone, that's even more critical, because despite their brand, they took that time off to get themselves right. And come back
okay.
and still be able to perform at the highest levels.
Yep.
What's your take on this?
I'm in agreement with him. Like,
love for the game.
Yeah, love for the game.
Love for the game. Okay.
However, comma.
Absolutely.
If I can build a brand off of, you know, if I can build a brand off of my love of the game, And
so
and
2-1
actually, yeah, like
2-1 win.
Let's kill two birds with one stone.
So this is the part, right? This is where I feel like depends on the caliber player you are. If you know you're gonna be a 3-and-D, a bench, a role player, yeah, for the most part, you're not gonna have as much control to control your destiny, whereas a Kobe or a Mike did, or a Bron does, whereas like the GM or the coach, whatever they wanna say, versus whatever other, like a bench role player who's gonna benefit or not benefit off of the decisions made for one player's benefit, right? Kobe calls the shots on a play. I don't know, let's pick a random, like whoever, Jeremy Lin shooting the final shot. And if he does, that's gonna cause a problem. So at that point, is it, you're like, that's the point. At what point does love and brand start creeping in?
For the most part, I would say, I personally don't believe by and large that, I don't think most athletes are actively during the heat of competition thinking about their brand.
Except you just actively. Said though. The half court shot is actively thinking that.
They do.
But I mean, when we're talking about like.
Because think about it. Oh, let me get this extra layer for a stat. Meet my incentive.
Actually,
how's my brand?
So this is why I said. Yes, there's some of that, but
I have
again,
a Sprite commercial.
I don't think that it's like rampant. I think most athletes are,
because people used to say Russ was stat chasing,
and right? He wasn't.
And he wasn't. No, he's a phenomenal athlete. He's a monster athlete.
So actually, I want to change my answer because I thought about a question: $50 million or a ring? Which one?
Oh, you're going back to this now?
No.
I have to go back to that for a reason. Because going back, yeah, they are thinking about that. They are thinking about that extra cash because they have to for their brand and for themselves. Like, dude, if I'm in an NBA game and I know, what's the dude that got 3 interceptions from the Jets a few weeks ago? He said, man, I was working on that. And he got $1 million for 3 interceptions. He was thinking about that all season.
Of course, that.
Of course, that's an incentive.
He's like this. I was like, that's what motivates.
That's different.
Right, but here's the question though. Back to, is it for the love of the game or for the love of what the game can bring you? Which one is, in your opinion, more, you know, greater?
So that
to approach
to me, that's very different than looking at like Jokic. Right?
Boom.
Who literally is just a job to him. Like, he different.
I hate that man.
But you see him when he came back? He looked so depressed that he's back.
He was like, oh gosh, I gotta go do this again for 82 games.
Right.
They asked about, because, you know, about Coach Prime in the Colorado and in the Denver area. He was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
like he's so disconnected.
It's just a job.
Right. He just comes, a job. He does his job, and he goes home. There's that. But then there's also the other way, right, is live and die. This is all I know. This is all I do. And they sacrifice
players are gonna try to hit their incentives, but I don't think most players are going to do that to the detriment of their team. Most players. Mm-hmm. Like, even the half-court shot example. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not doing that to the detriment of their team. I mean, the likelihood, the percentage chance that shot goes in is extremely low anyway, so...
It is for you and I, but for an NBA player.
Right. But then there's some that actually get it off, too. So I'm saying there's examples on both sides of the equation. But I don't think, by and large, athletes are like, oh, let me do this, and I don't care about whether this sabotages the team win or not.
Okay. I definitely am with you when you say that if I can build a brand off of my love of the game, that's a win-win. I feel like that's what athletes are taking more a proactive approach towards doing, like Kobe was doing that early on in his career. Draymond Green, all these guys are making that proactive approach to building the brand while they're in the game, because once they leave the game, the doors close. People don't want to answer your calls anymore, as they say. So I need to take advantage of this now. But again, to take advantage of it now, you have to produce while you're there. You can't just be, you know, the 15th guy and not producing and saying, oh, let me build this brand. It's not going to work like that. So there's got to be a component of both. I think this for the second part to work, for everything the game brings to you.
Right.
The core is still the love of the game.
It's where it all started.
And I look at it this way. Will you play, would you, if you love the game, will you play it for free? Will you play it for free? If you love it that much, you'll play it for free. If they're going to pay you to play it, I'll take it. But if they didn't pay you, would you play? Comes down to that. And I heard Chris Paul say just that, that I'm willing to play this for free. If they want to pay me, I'll take it. So there's that side of it.
But I mean, I think that's easy to say when you're a multimillionaire.
I agree.
that's really easy to say.
I agree. But also,
but you're not going to do it for a living if you're doing it for free.
It also depends on the economic background you come from too, right? Because if you're trying to get out of a tough situation, that's a motivating factor.
But even
right?
regardless of that, it doesn't matter whether if they're not getting paid for it, you can't do it for a living.
Again, it depends on your situation.
No, any situation. You think I put food on the table?
You do. However, if you love something purely, you will do it for free.
It'll be a hobby.
Agree.
It'll be like you going to 4 Mile.
You'll still do it,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but not as a profession.
That's what a profession is that pays you.
They wouldn't put the same time and effort into it that they do now.
Absolutely.
Right,
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree. So we, again, agree.
It wasn't as bad as that one, though.
That was pretty bad. No? Okay. Wasn't that bad. All right.
You too. Anyway, continue.
No, I mean, that's kind of where I wanted to go with this, right? To get your opinion on what you think about this whole love. At what point is it brand? Is it love? How is it interconnected? How would you view it if you were doing this? I think we got our answers through. Obviously, there's some disagreements, but I know we're right. But that's fine. We'll let the viewers decide.
We're right.
The viewers decide. Right.
All I know.
We put a poll out there. How about that?
All I know is that if we were advising our own children, it would be, don't worry about your brand.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to focus on the game, and the game will reward you.
Absolutely.
And when the game rewards you, then you can build a brand.
Agreed. And let me, I heard this analogy once, which was, it's like when you walk towards the sun, the shadow will follow you. You ain't got to worry about all that. It comes with it. And if you walk away from the sun, now you're chasing your shadow. Mm. Mm.
That's a good one.
Simple as that.
That's deep.
That's a bar.
Oh, my God. That's a bar.
You're welcome.
I'm just dropping bars on this pod. Right. All right. So we might have to get a collection of all the bars he put out from all of us. Do one of those. But that's all I got. Sir, anything else?
No.
No? All right. Well, we appreciate you guys joining us. Matt, Ken, the old guy.
This hack.
You don't say old guy in the three? I'll be the old guy here.
As long as you're the old guy.
I'm the old guy, man. Look at that. <You did. laughs> What was the R word? RBA. Oh, RBA.
Wait, we got the white guy.
The brown guy. Hey, we are the United Nations.
We kind of are.
Yeah.
Kind of.
No, you know who we are? NAACP. Good night, people.
What?
National Association.
Hi, on that note, peace.